They're both going. All right. Okay, so this is Forrest Solis interviewing Shannon Ellison on May 27th, 2016 at 2:30. So if you can take us as far back as to the conception. So you have two children?
I do have two children. Both of them, I'm assuming, were conceived, and I was consumed by their conception on St. Patty's Day, I'm guessing, because Scarlett was due on December 23rd, and Lily was due on December 25th. And my now husband and I got engaged Christmas Day, 3 months before our conception, with Scarlett. So I had this big, giant wedding planned, and I couldn't remember when I was supposed to get my period, even though I'm a nurse. Those were details that I didn't focus on, and I never had a normal period anyway. So I was at work, and I thought, gosh, I think it's been a while. When am I supposed to get my period? And one of the other nurses had some descriptors about me, because I was a nurse, and I made an appointment. No, I went home and I took a pregnancy test, and my husband, my fiance then, was in the field. He's an archaeologist, so he was nowhere to be seen and was not a phone call away, and I had a glass of wine, and I took my pregnancy test like every good nurse should, and there were two lines. I was totally pregnant, and I sat with my cat, and I thought, what should I do? I should take vitamins right now. So I did not pick up a cigarette, and I took some folic acid and some multivitamin that I had laying around, and went to bed. And that was the first minute that I knew I was pregnant.
So when were you able to tell your husband about it, or your fiance?
My fiance. He came back, and we had the best little house downtown. It was the best. And he came back and from being out in the field, and he came in, and he had a pack of beer and a pack of cigarettes. And he was like, hey, I know you were talking about going to the doctor because you were having those cramps. Did you get to the doctor? And I said, well, yes, I did. He said, oh, okay, well, how'd it go? And I said, well, you're going to be a father. I'm pregnant. And he stood up and he said, well, congratulations. And I said, thank you. So I think he got to light up a cigarette and he didn't crack a beer. And his first comment was, what if I'm not a good dad? What if I'm not good at this? And I mean, he was the only guy I was ever going to marry, so I knew I was going to marry him for a lot of right reasons. And by golly, he turned out to be a phenomenal dad. So that's how that unveiling went.
Did you have family in town, you know, or a support network, other women that had babies to talk to?
We took the geographical cure. Both of us did. So I emigrated out here from New Jersey on purpose, and my husband came from Oklahoma. So no. Our support system is our chosen family, the people that we choose to be around. He went to grad school out here, so he had some really close friends, and I went to many years of college out here, so I've got some really close, wonderful friends that I consider to be my family. But as far as other people that had children, I have one girlfriend that had a child before me, and Canyon is 6 years older than Scarlett. So no. And one of our friends talked us into taking the Bradley Method class, which is a husband-coached childbirth, and that was a little challenging for me as a nurse, because it was almost like they were plotting the healthcare system against natural childbirth. And I feel like Flagstaff is a very open, a very communicative, very amazing community. And frankly, the nurses talked me through a lot of stuff. My husband was there and was absolutely amazing, but those nurses were unbelievably supportive.
So had you had a kind of plan?
I roll my eyes because now I look back and that birth plan was so important to me. And I showed up with my little 3x5 card that I had meticulously mapped out. And really, in the end, the only thing that I wanted desperately was to give birth and have the baby on my chest. And that, of course, opens up a whole nother myriad of the journey to give birth for me, because it was not as easy as I thought it was going to be.
The pregnancy part
had a lot of unanticipated issues. So the night before I was going to be in the safe zone, the night before I was going to be 12 weeks pregnant, my fiance and I, were curled up in bed, and what I thought then was having to use the restroom often, which later became a joke because I didn't have a clue. I jumped up and I went to the restroom and I had my first major bleed, and I bled out. And of course, I didn't know what to do, and I thought, okay, well, I was supposed to be safe tomorrow, because at 12 weeks, everything is safe and everything is okay, right? I mean, that's when you know you have a viable pregnancy. And so I called the doctor on call, and I said, I'm bleeding, and it's not just like I'm spotting. Like, I sat down on the toilet, and I bled out, and I don't feel faint, and I don't feel any pain, but we definitely have an issue here. And that OB on the phone said to me, okay, well, it sounds like you're going to have a miscarriage, and if you're going to do that, you want to do that at home. And I said, but I don't want to have a miscarriage. I don't want that. He said, well, basically, that's the writing on the wall, and just go back to bed, and if you feel like you're bleeding too much or if the cramps come and they're uncontrollable, you may want to bring yourself to the ER. So my husband and I did some crying, and we went to sleep and called one of my nursing friends in the morning, who came and then cried with my husband. And I was in bed in shock, like, well, here I go. I'm pregnant before I'm married, and this is what I get, right? Right. So she came and sat on the bed, and she said, the only thing that you have going for you is that you're not cramping. There's no reason that you shouldn't be cramping with the amount of blood that you said you've lost. And we waited for the doctor's office to open so we could go in and have that ultrasound done. And we were in the corner hysterical because we wanted this baby. I mean, she was a surprise. We didn't know that we wanted her so much until we almost lost her. And so we went in and we sat in the corner and they called us back, and the sweet technician, I'll never forget, because, you know, the gel was cold on my tummy, and the paper was cold, and everything in that office was cold and unwelcoming and not warm. And, you know, I was more hysterical than this, and my sweet, sweet Travis was also hysterical. And she said, there's a heartbeat. And I'll never forget that breath that I took at that minute, thinking, thank God, or thank whomever, thankfully. And we cried more, and then we went home and cried more, and they couldn't figure out why I was bleeding, and that was the first of a few bleeds. And I must have taken a little bit of time off from work, and we had to move our wedding, you know, because I didn't want to be too morose when I was waddling down the aisle. So we moved our wedding from the solstice in the fall to 4th of July weekend, because that seemed like the next logical thing to do. So I had something to focus on, right? I wasn't bleeding anymore. They said there was a healthy heartbeat and we could move forward with trying to live like normal human beings that were just pregnant. So we did that, and we planned this big wedding, and we weren't allowed to have sex. That was another thing. Which, okay, so I think shortly after my first bleed is when the morning sickness happened. And I scoff at that term because I had nausea, morning mid-morning, afternoon, evening time, in the middle of the night. I mean, I have vomited in every single patient room on the floor that I had worked on, hands down. And it just got to the point where it's sort of a natural process. I would just lean over and lose breakfast. I'm glad that's over. Anyway, so...
Were you still able to gain weight?
Oh, I was a champion weight gainer. I was really good at that. I think at one of the appointments after I had surpassed 220, my husband just gave me a high five and said, way to go, mama. Way to do it. I gained about 70 pounds with each kid, despite my chronic nausea. But that was the only thing that helped, really, was to put something else in. And everything tasted really good. Everything tasted really good. I had to have Airheads, you know, that candy. I had to have that on my vessel at all times so I could ingest it. Even though now the smell of it and the taste of it is not very appealing. So, yes, I was able to gain weight effectively.
Was that, how was the, like, body transformation and feeling the one inside you and all of that?
It was insane. Feeling, everything felt different, right? I mean, and looking at me, I was a pregnant person from, you know, eye level down. I was just pregnant everywhere. My hair was finally thick. First time in my life I had actual thick hair that wasn't the way that it currently is. My boobs were giant, and my belly, I mean, I was the most pregnant person you've ever seen in your entire life for months. And it was awesome. I loved it. I mean, at the end, getting up and down was a little challenging, but I did it. We made it through. So, getting back to our wedding, I wasn't too terribly large at that point. I was only about 4 months pregnant. I had a bump, but I could have also just eaten a very large meal. I mean, it wasn't anything significant. But I was a more slender person then, you know. So we got married, not allowed to have sex on our wedding night, which was kind of like a bummer. But apparently we had already done it before, so there was no big unveiling there. And my mother, in true form, had a heart attack on the way back from our wedding, back home to New Jersey on the airplane. So instead of having a honeymoon where we relax and enjoy each other, we went to the cath lab in New Jersey. So, and that's when I had another bleed when I was back there. And I remember thinking, shit, what should I do? This time I remember thinking, well, Travis should look at this because maybe I'm hysterical. And my husband is, he's an archaeologist, so fluids are not at all appealing to him on any level. But he did it like a champion, and he looked and he said, yeah, you're right, that's blood. And I called the OB on call, who was here, you know, in Flagstaff, and she was calmer, and she said, okay, well, tell me about the blood, and tell me about how you're feeling. And I did, and she said, well, I think you should just keep your feet up for a couple of days, and when you come back, we're going to figure something out. So spent the rest of my amazingly relaxing honeymoon there, and flew back home, and started thinking about what is causing these bleeds. So we went back for another ultrasound, and at this point, from here on out, we started having ultrasounds about weekly. Baby fetus, who was a surprise, and I was really hell-bent on this being a surprise. We didn't know what the sex of the baby was going to be, and I'm really happy we did that. started looking more deeply into what was going on. So we went for another ultrasound, and I can't tell you how far along I was in the pregnancy. I guess if it was right after my wedding, I must have been 4.5 months. So there was a point when the tech lady, who was not the same tech lady as that beautiful woman who delivered that beautiful news, she was a different woman, and she was sort of more fierce and pointed, and where the other ultrasound, there was sort of a joyous relief. This ultrasound, she got real quiet and didn't want to divulge anything, sort of cryptic, if you will. So, but I figured, well, okay, well, maybe she's just having a bad day or she's unpleasant. Could be any combination of the two. So that's when I got referred to a specialist down in Phoenix because they thought I had vasoprevia, which is sort of a problem with the umbilical cord and the flow of blood. And went down to Phoenix to a specialist down there who basically said, you need to have your feet up. You can eat some licorice, have snacks by you all the time, but you are not to work anymore and you need to take it easy. If you make it to 28 weeks pregnant, you need to move down here to Good Sam because that's where we have the most intense NICU and we can best care for your baby and for you. And I thought, well, obviously this man doesn't understand that I'm about where I have married an archaeologist and I am the breadwinner because I can't just take all that time off, foolish man. And it turns out I didn't have vasoprevia. I had placenta previa, but I had a complete previa. And that's why I was having these bleeds, because of the shift and with my uterus and the placenta. When it would shift or grow or move, I would bleed out. And so the bleeding episodes, I believe, happened 3 times. And they were, again, significant events that was like, oh, why don't I feel faint? What's going on here? Nurse head, right? Mom head. I'm like, my baby. So down I went on the couch with my remote control and my snacks and my cat, and I incubated. I grew the baby.
For how long?
First lesson in parenting. You are not in control of anything. So due date was December 23rd. I don't remember what the date of my 28 weeks where it was going to be a viable fetus. I don't remember what that was. I'm sure I have it written somewhere. But Christmas came and Christmas went, and my previa cleared magically, and that kid would not come out. All of that perseverating and all, I mean, I was a mess because I was failing. I mean, basically, right? I mean, I failed for my family because I got pregnant before I got married, which I don't care about. And by the by, I got pregnant, I got married. I got married barefoot and pregnant, and it was like the most magical thing that could have happened, and it was amazing. It was wonderful. And I would totally repeat that. I would totally repeat that story chapter in my life. So I felt like I wasn't going to make it to be a big, giant, huge pregnant person, and I was wrong. I was really pregnant and really big, and I really was done being pregnant by the end of it, which was funny because I worked so hard at staying pregnant and being pregnant, and I had spent a lot of time beating myself up because I felt like I was failing at it, and I couldn't give my husband a healthy baby or a healthy pregnancy, and I couldn't be a partner that was contributing because I had to lay down and grow this surprise baby. And there was a lot of good things to look forward to because we didn't know if it was a boy or a girl, and that was a challenge to keep that under wraps when we had, you know, 107 ultrasounds and people in the chart all the time making sure that we were going to sustain the pregnancy.
So, okay. So you're super pregnant. You're super unhappy about it. And then did you feel a contraction? Did your water break?
I had contractions. I couldn't move. So I'm still on light duty, right? So eventually I'm like, look, I have to do some work. So they shuffled me up to medical records, and where I got to do a lot of squats, which was apparently really good for the birthing plan, according to Mr. Bradley. And I got to have a lot of snacks, and I couldn't walk 10 feet without having a contraction. I had more contractions with this sweet, sweet child of mine than you could possibly imagine. I couldn't get to my car without having to stop. I mean, but I also, like, couldn't keep it going, if that makes sense. So I had an induction massage done, And I was really pissed that I had waited until I was post due to have a pregnancy massage. I didn't know. Nobody told me. I had no idea.
What is it? I don't know what that is.
It was magic. It was magic. They lay you on a table with all these supportive pillows, and they adjust you, and they rubbed things I didn't even know I had. And basically, the induction pressure point is on your toes. So she spent a lot of time rubbing my toes, which normally nobody's allowed to touch my feet. But this magical woman and her magical hands massaged me and rubbed me, and I said, I can do this. I can do this all the time. And then, eventually, my OB, who I really, 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 really appreciate and love and got me through this, she said, you know, it's time we got to start thinking about eviction here. And I said, well, you know, that's a no-no because I'm a Bradley mom and you got to let it happen naturally. And she said, okay, but you're going to be 8 days past due and it's time. And I said, okay. Baby was getting bigger and I was getting bigger and her fluid was not getting bigger. So we agree that we are going to be induced despite all the classroom time that we had spent with Dr. Bradley and his people, who said induction is not the best way to go. You want to let this happen naturally because, you know, if you get induced, then obviously you're going to have to intervene with drugs, right? And drugs are bad. And I didn't want anything else to be bad with this pregnancy. And you better believe that I was going to have a natural birth, come hell or high water. I was going to do that.
How'd that work out?
Well, the clarity of hindsight has offered the most amazing gift. So, we go out to dinner. We're super excited. Everyone is commenting on how large I am because now I can't fit anywhere or move. And the nice young man was like, oh, the server, oh, what are you going to do about that? And I said, we're actually going to go and get induced right now after this wonderful dinner that you serve us. So it was kind of sweet and fun. And we check in and my old nursing instructor was there and she's like, you are huge. I said, I know I'm huge, but I was really hungry. And she said, you know, so-and-so gave birth earlier today and she only gained 8 pounds and had a 6-pound baby. You went for the gold and you did it. And I did. So there we are. We're checked in and we have our nurse, Joe, who was wonderful, and her new graduate nurse, who was on her last night of preceptorship, which matters to me now. Then I just thought it was sweet and special. So I got two nurses for the price of one, right? And Andrietta was her name. Sweet, wonderful, adorable. And they sort of, you know, they had done this 50,000 times before, and this was my first time. And again, I show up with my birth plan because I am a diligent birthing person, and that's what I'm supposed to do. And we're ready to go. The plan is I'm going to get a gel and an Ambien. And the Ambien is to help me sleep. So when I wake up in the morning to give birth, I'll be ready and charged to go. And I'm thinking, awesome, great. I love this idea. So they give me the gel. And about 30 minutes later, they give me the Ambien. And I'm drinking juice out of my little graduated cylinder, and we're watching Spaceballs was on TV, and this is December 30th. So, thinking, okay, we're going to have a baby on New Year's Eve. How cool is that? Maybe, I mean, if the baby comes, because Dr. Bradley lets you know that it could take a while, right? So, they have those things on you, the monitors, which are kind of irritating when you're a big, giant person anyway. But, okay, they have them on me. And the nurse came in to check on me about 35 minutes after my Ambien, and I said to her, this came out of my mouth, you know, I think you were a little rough putting that gel in because I'm having these terrible cramps now. Me, the nurse, and not a novice nurse, like a nurse. And she said, honey, those aren't cramps. You're in labor. And I said, no. See, that can't happen because you gave me an Ambien and I need to sleep first. That's what happens. I sleep first and then I have the baby. That's how that happens. And she said, no, honey, no. Why don't you have some more juice and we'll just see how this goes. So away we went. And I'll be damned if I didn't labor all through the night. And it was okay. I really didn't think that the labor pains, that the contractions were going to just feel like cramps, like my menstrual cramps. I really thought that they were going to be a specific sort of different, more identifiable pain. But what a learning lesson. What a learning lesson. So again, really, the big thing on my plate was that I was going to deliver this baby naturally with no interventions, and I was going to have the baby put on my chest. I was also going to breastfeed for the rest of my life because I was set on that. So we did a lot of laboring. We did a lot of laboring and a lot of screaming. And at one point, I remember they had me stand up. And now standing was a chore anyway because I was like, you know, 220 plus of water weight and baby. And then they wanted me to try to stand up and labor. And I remember, or push. And I remember thinking, this is not working. You're crazy. And I labored till about early in the morning. And I was so excited that I was going to get in the bathtub. I was really looking forward to that because the hospital has never-ending hot water, right? And that's one of my favorite things. And I was too big to fit in the bathtub at my house because it was this little old bungalow and it was a really narrow tub. And I did get stuck in it about 7 months into the pregnancy and I couldn't get out. So I was really looking forward to sitting in a bathtub and relaxing in there. So they had me on that labor ball, the bouncy ball, for a little while when the contractions were happening. And I said, you know, I think now's a good time. I was about 4 centimeters dilated. I said, I think now is a really good time for me to get into the bathtub. I'm feeling like that will help me relax because I was sort of unprepared mentally for the kind of pain I was having. So I stood up off the ball, and there went my water. My water broke. And they kind of said, well, you know what that means? No more bathtub for you. And I was like, all right, well, how about I try a shower? Let's try a shower. So I had done a lot of sweating and screaming and moaning and got into the shower. And that was the most magical part about that room, I think. It was amazing. And I was able to calm myself down and I was able to just to appreciate that this was it. This was going to happen now. And I came waddling out as a completely stark naked person. And I said, I think I need to push. And the nurses said, don't be ridiculous. You were just 4 centimeters and we've been at this all night and you're not there yet. And I said, well, I think you may be wrong. So why don't you come in here and see? Well, and lo and behold, she said, okay, let's get the doctor here quickly. So I blame or thank or whatever you want to say the water for helping me transition and being able to relax enough to get there. And I looked at the clock and it was 4 o'clock in the morning on the dot. And they had my legs up and they said, okay. And so now in my Bradley Method classes, they had been sure to tell you the first birth, you usually push for about an hour. Right? And I remember thinking like, okay, this has been really hard, but I can totally do this. I can totally do this for another hour. So we did some practice pushes and I was doing it okay, according to the nurses. And we went for it and we kept going and kept going and kept going. And then we had to push. I pushed in every position you could possibly think of. I did a lot of laboring over the back of the bed, I feel like. And at one point I remember saying, my back, it's breaking my back. And the sweet nurse just said, no, honey, that's just the baby moving. Don't worry. So I can't tell you how absolutely magnificent and pivotal the nurses' words and their voices and their hands were during this whole experience. And again, my husband was in my face a lot and I still love him. I still love him and I would do it again with him. But I had a really great freaking team that were cheering me on. So pushing standing up was not fun, and I didn't like that. and pushing laying down wasn't getting the baby where she needed to be, or the baby, because we didn't know what it was. And long story short, I pushed for 3 hours and 44 minutes. And at about 3 hours and 3.5 hours, the OB said, "Let's get the vacuum. I think we're in trouble here." And I thought, thank fucking God. What took you so long? Do whatever you have to do, but let's get this moving along, because this sucks real bad. And I gave her one good last push where I was like, okay, let's just get the vacuum, get this done, get it out. The vacuum never made it to me, but I do remember Travis leaning in saying, "This is it, babe, this is it. This is gonna be the ring of fire, this is it, you can do it." And I looked up and I said, "What fucking ring of fire? There's no ring. How did you know about the ring of fire and nobody told me?" And it was a very explicit minute that I understood very much so what he was referring to by ring of fire. so much so that it still makes me shudder a little bit. And then my sweet, sweet baby that we had waited so long to meet and worked so hard to get out had meconium. So I look over, I look to the right of me in this big giant room, right, with my OB and my husband and my nurse and my student or new grad nurse. And I look over and there is a team of probably 10 people standing there waiting to take my baby away because she had mech. And I'm like, fuck this. This is what I worked for, and I'm having a natural birth, and they are going to put that baby on my chest. And so I delivered her head, and my amazing doctor suctioned her while she was still inside of me, and she got to come up. She was a girl! It was awesome! And they put her on me, and I couldn't really see her face, but the first time I saw her face, I said, "But she looks exactly like my brother. Are you sure it's a girl?" And she cried, and she wouldn't nurse, and she was perfect and amazing. And she's still a very independent young woman. There's a lot to be said for a name, I think, and I didn't know that then. I just thought Scarlett was a really cool girl's name. And I love the name still, but she is a fiery, independent, amazing vessel. And then came the placenta. And another thing nobody told me was that redheads bleed a lot. And I didn't know that. And so they couldn't get my pressure up, and they couldn't get me to stop bleeding, and that was a little bit of a mess, because then I was trying to be present for this new person that I was celebrating and trying to celebrate with my husband, and they had to keep me a little bit longer than the average brunette.
Okay, so how was the breastfeeding? How did that work out?
My gosh, I had these giant boobs, right? And like their purpose for existing is to feed your baby, right? And I was so excited about this. And I'm fortunate enough to have two mother-in-law, one of which would never think of breastfeeding. And the other one is basically a La Leche League captain person. And so I didn't know what questions I would have. I mean, I just figured the baby would come out, and that's what they do, right? That's what they said in the Bradley Method classes. The baby comes out, will actually migrate up your stomach and attach to your breast, and it's magic, and it's easy, and nobody told me. And I didn't know what questions to ask. So I had this little furry beast whom I was totally madly in love with, and I had these great big boobs to feed her. And for some reason, the relationship wasn't working out. So the lactation consultant specialist lady, who's really wonderful and patient, came to chat with me to see if I had any questions. And now at this point, mind you, I had taken an Ambien. I had labored all night. I had delivered, I had bled significantly, and so I really wasn't ready to receive information. And I just figured the baby will get it eventually, right? And I remember thinking, don't you want this? Like, I'm supposed to do like this. And she, the lactation consultant, helped me with positioning the baby tummy to tummy. And I was really taken aback by how I perceived her as being forceful with my new baby. And really, that took away from my being able to receive information from her, because she took my nipple, and then she took my beautiful brand new baby's head and like jammed it on there. Like, it wasn't a passive, beautiful kissing situation. It was like a car wreck. I mean, I couldn't believe that she would handle my baby like that. And Scarlett didn't want to have anything to do with it. So I had blisters and cracking, and the pain that was associated with the breastfeeding and my uterine cramping was also something nobody told me about. I didn't know. And so I would get very discouraged and frustrated because my vagina was so swollen, first of all, that I needed a wheelbarrow to get around. And I was amazed by that. So I had this gigantic situation between my legs that really was sore. I had this horrible cramping in my belly, and I had these giant sore rocks and bleeding, cracked, oozing nipples, and then this screaming beast, because she was trying to tell me she was hungry but didn't know how to make the situation work. So breastfeeding in the beginning was a real challenge. It was really hard, and I'm really happy that I stuck with it. And my beautiful daughter is 7 and a half now, and I firmly believe she would still be breastfeeding if I let her. She was a champion. She got to and I loved breastfeeding. It was never a modesty issue for me. And in fact, maybe another time I'll tell you funny stories about me not even realizing that I was exposed and being in restaurants and such, and the poor waiter just not knowing how to deal with me. I loved breastfeeding. I loved it. And my second daughter kicked me off. She was done because she wanted, and she was 8 months old. It was August 22nd was her last time that she latched on, and she wouldn't do it anymore. And it got to the point where I felt like I was trying to help her aim and get there and making her sort of do it, and it was over.
Not many women talk about the vagina transformation, but it's like shocking. It is truly shocking.
I had no idea. And, well, I mean, I pushed for 4 friggin' hours, man. So when I stood up and I looked in the mirror for the first time, my face was swollen. All my blood vessels in my eyes were, I was beet red. I mean, I looked like I had really been through it, and I had. But there was a sort of sense of, like, I knew I could do it without drugs. I knew it, and I did it. And I was doing it, I guess I wanted to prove something to myself. I didn't get a badge. I didn't get anything but a really freaking swollen vagina and like bloodshot eyes. With my second child, I wouldn't progress past 4 centimeters. And I think it's because I was so freaking petrified of that damn ring of fire. I was petrified of doing that again. So I sort of asked permission from my husband, and I did it in the sense that I looked over and I said, babe, what do you think? Because the nurse said, what do you think about an epidural? And I was like, I didn't have to do that the first time. And then I said, what do you think, honey? And my nurse, in an effort to sort of support me and empower me, she said, this is your body and you make the decisions here. And I thought, thank you so much, but we are sincerely a team. And I it matters to me what his opinion is. And my husband, of course, didn't, he wouldn't care. So I got the epidural, and I'll be damned, that kid came out. Like, I didn't even have to sneeze. I went from 4 centimeters to 10 centimeters. They said, don't push, don't move. And I thought, okay, no big deal at all. Told me to push once, I pushed twice. This beautiful little fuzzy thing came right up, migrated up my damn stomach, latched onto my boob. There was no issues. I was not overly swollen. I was not overly exhausted. I mean, that was it. It was a much different picture. It was a much different process. And I actually felt really resentful that they let me go through that the first time. And to my, you know, to my own chagrin, I did it to myself. But nobody freaking told me. Nobody told me. I had no idea. And I sort of, I remember when I was pushing with Scarlett, and I remember being all sweaty and gross and naked and oozy, and I remember taking a breather between contractions, and I heard another woman down the hall screaming, and I felt so empowered by that. I felt that was so awesome, and I remember thinking, right on, sister, you can do it. You can do it, too. We're going to do this, because obviously she was having a natural birth, too. And I remember that snippet very vividly, that her voice was coming from down the hall on the right side, and sort of chuckling, like, yeah. Could do this.
When you reflect on the experience, is there any way that you could come up with like a word or a phrasing of words that kind of summarizes it for you, or kind of something that comes to mind? Because we are, you know, we're separating them into themes, and what themes are always emerging, and so it's interesting to see what you know, what you guys.
I don't know. I want to say kind of lessons. Like, it was one giant continuum of lessons about humility and love and patience and perseverance and no, I can't come up with just one word or a set of words. I mean, this was probably the most monumental experience of my entire life, and will be until who knows what. But this changed everything about me. Whether it be during the period of my pregnancy, where even my hair was different and my skin was glowing, and to afterwards, where I was really just part of a system now, you know, and it was me and her, and we did everything together. We slept together. We ate together. She ate from me, and she could smell me from across the room, and I couldn't stand to not smell her. So I don't know. I don't think I could pinpoint one word or one color or one emotion. The thing that's popping up in my head is a rainbow for some odd reason, because it was a continuum. It is a continuum, and it's growing, and who knows where it's going to end. And there were so many different colors associated with all the emotions that I felt. I mean, from like the black sorrow of failing at being a pregnant person, and then the defeat of her saying, "You have mech," and looking over and seeing all those people that were just waiting there to take my baby away, to save her, to work on her. I mean, I remember thinking, like, to the pain. I mean, it was a really painful process, man. They talked about contractions feeling like rolling hills and just rolling. And I did not feel as though it was a passive, pretty process. That damn right hurt.
You mean you didn't orgasm when you had a contraction?
I didn't. And I remember thinking, like, that is a possibility too, because my Bradley Method instructor talked about, like, the greatest orgasm she had ever had was giving birth to her son, and it was totally amazing. And I don't know how the hell she pulled that off, because again, I couldn't. they put diapers on me that were filled with ice, packed with ice, to get the swelling down. And I remember thinking that was like sheer, that was a prize. That was my prize. I pushed for 4 hours. I have bleeding, oozing nipples. I have this bloody vagina that is so huge. I mean, it's like nothing you've ever seen before. I didn't know it could do that. And I got an ice pack, and it was enough.
Did you at least get a hemorrhoid, though, too? Because that's...
I feel, oddly enough, my husband's dear friend is a mountaineer man, and he climbs mountains that I don't know, like Everest and stuff. Why you would do that, I don't know. Whatever. And he came to visit the baby when she was brand new, and somehow he was talking about how uncomfortable he was being up on the mountain pushing. And I just said to him, you know, funny, Greg, I just pushed this out of my body for 4 hours. So just get yourself some preparation H and move on.
Okay. Is there anything else that you think you'd like to add?
No. It was cold because it was New Year's Eve. And they were very, very kind to us and brought us little bottles of Martinelli's to celebrate. And it was, I mean, overall, I look back and I have overwhelming feelings of bliss and accomplishment. And even though it was that insane and fiery and hard, I would totally do it again.
That's perfect. Perfect ending. Okay. All right. Turn them off.